Okay, we're beginning at the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, 6 lines down by the 2 dots. We finished off the Gemara yesterday with the fact that the Ischus can be told of the man Marim, and the Gemara was looking for the sources for how long it would be told left. And the Gemara got up to our Mishnah, which our Mishnah says it can be told for 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years. The Gemara wants to know, now that we know that it does postpone the effects of the Mesilta, what Ischus is it that allows the postponement of such a punishment of the Mesilta? The Gemara says, Ischus demai. What schus is it that's tola for the woman? Elim is schus de Torah. If you say it's the schus of Torah, heina mitzuvah v'osahi, then she's not commanded. She is not a mitzuvah v'osah here. She's in a mitzuvah, and she does it. She's doing it voluntarily. That's not enough schar. That's not a level of schar which will protect her in this type of instance. Because we know, there's a requirement that the fathers teach the sons. And whoever is chayef to learn Torah is also chayef to teach Torah. So women are pturim milimud Torah, even though if they want to learn Torah they can, but they will be considered any mitzvah v'osah. We know from the Gemara in Kiddushin, right, that it's gadol hay mitzvah, yoter sheinu mitzvah v'osah, that it's greater is the one who is mitzvah to do it, because the eitz hara is much greater for someone who is commanded to do it, and therefore their schar is greater than someone who voluntarily does this. So here she's voluntarily doing the mitzvah of limud Torah, that would not be sufficient to protect her. Ela zchus de mitzvah. No, maybe the schus of mitzvah protector. The schus of mitzvah, maybe ganikuli high. Does the schus of mitzvah have that type of potency in order to protect her? Va'atanya, don't we have a price that zu derash Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, that Menachem Rabbi Yossi learned kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Tala v'kot v'et mitzvah b'ner v'et ha-torah b'or. How come the Torah, or how come in Mishle, when Shlomo Melech is speaking about mitzvah, he compares it to a ner. When he's talking about Torah, he talks about or. That a ner or a candle is only sufficient as long as there's fuel for the candle. When the fuel runs out, the candle runs out also. So to a mitzvah, it only has temporary respite from the punishment of the Torah. But or megin the olam, just like light lasts forever, the sun and the light of the world continues forever, does not ever go away. So to Torah protects forever. The Omer, and it says, "Bitalechat and chalta otcha ubishachochat yishmarlecha vehikitzota hitisichecha." So the pasuk says in Mishle, the Gemara is going to dashin. Bitalechat and chalta de olam hazeh. That Torah is malavet you in olam hazeh. Bishachochat yishmarlecha zumita. That even in the kever, Torah protects you. Vehakitzota hitisichecha latitavot. As even in the future that Torah protects you. So you see that the potency of Torah is on a much higher level than that of a mitzvah. Mashal, adam she'em aleich b'ishon alayla. A person's walking along in the darkness of night, b'feila. And he is unable to see. Mitzvah, mina kotzim, o mina pchatim, o mina barkanim. So there he can't see where he's going. Because of that, he'll bump into thorns and ditches and things that would block his ability or his ability to walk easily along the way, because he has any lights, he'll bump into all these problems, he'll bump into these bushes, or these thorns, or into these drops in the road, right? Ooh, mechayira, and he's afraid of marauders and chayot ra'ot, and on top of that, he has no idea where he's going, he's on a path, and he doesn't know where he's going to end up. Nizam lo avuka shel or, when he gets all of a sudden, he gets a torch, nitzal min ha-kotzim and min ha-pchatim, then he's saved from the kotzim, the pchatim, and the barkanim, from these bushes and these thorns, and from the dips in the road. But he's still afraid, because it's nighttime, he's afraid of the wild animals and the listim. And he still doesn't know where he's going. Once the sun rises, then he's protected from the chayira'a u minha listim. This is based on the Gemara in Pesachim, it's also Gemara in Bava Kama Nakonis in the 6th parak. The Gemara there says, "Lalam yitzei adam, or yikanes adam b'chitov." That a person enter and leave a city b'chitov. And what's chitov? That's when it's light out, meaning that the chayara'an, the steam, do their business at night. That's when they are active, and they're active at night. So once the sun rises already, they go. They're off their job. Their job is done, and they aren't as active. So once the sun rises, he feels protected. He still doesn't know where he's going because, okay, it's light out, but he doesn't know where he is on what path. Once he reaches the fork in the road, then he's saved from all of them. So the Gemara later on is going to discuss what are these stages, what are these mashal and nimshalim. I'll just say, right, the first two cases of the Avuka and the Alot HaShachar is Torah. The Torah is able to protect him at night and protect him from the listim of Chayot Rol. The question is, what does Parshat HaDrachim mean? So we'll see that in a second in the Gemara. Davar acher, avira mechabe mitzvah, vein avira mechabe Torah. An avera is able to wipe out a mitzvah, but an avera is not able to wipe out the Torah. Shnemar mayim rabim leichu lechabot et hava, that the floods of water cannot wipe out the ava, the love. And Rashi points out over here that from the beginning of Shir Shirim early on, it says, Heviani ala bayit hayayin v'diglu alai ahava. That yayin is gematria, so that Martin Irvin says, so therefore, yayin refers to Torah, and when we see there, Heviani ala bayit hayayin, to the place, the base of Medrash, v'diglu alai ahava, and they put a banner of love over me, I mean, that's the ava, there's referring to the learning of Torah. So we see the learning of Torah, mayim rabim leichulu, the chabot ed ava. That waters cannot, I mean, averot cannot wipe out the avah, that which is Torah, but they can wipe out a mitzvah. So we see the schut of Torah is much greater than the schut of mitzvah. So until now, the Gemara has gone on the premise that mitzvah and Torah are different, that a mitzvah would not be sufficient to protect her in the schut. And here we see, the Gemara brings down different limudim that show the schut of mitzvah is not as great as the schut of Torah. The first rush of ner mitzvah was Torah. Then the Gemara talked about the power of Torah, that it helps you out in these situations, that both when you're alive and when you die, and in Olam Haba. And then we brought over here that a Aveira can wipe out a mitzvah, but it cannot wipe out Torah. So we see the ascendancy of Torah over a mitzvah in all of these cases. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yosef mitzvah be'itno da'asikva. So right, he comes to explain that mitzvah, the time that you're involved with it, migana umatzla, it protects you. Migana means it protects you from the Yisurim. Umatzla, it stops or protects you from the Yetzer Hara. Bidna de lo asikba, in the time that you're not asikba mitzvah, agune migana, it protects you from Yisurim. Atzuli lo matzla, but it does not save you from the Yetzer Hara. Torah, whereas Torah, ben bidna de lo asikba, migana umatzla, it protects you from Yisurim, and it protects you from the Yetzer Hara. So again, we see the point that Torah, the schut of Torah, is much greater than that of the mitzvah. Now, the Gemara asks, Matuflo, Rabba asked a question, Elmiata, Doeg Achitofel, Milo Atki B'Torah. What are you going to do with Doeg and Achitofel? They were both Rebbeim of David HaMelech, and they both met very bad ends. I mean, Achitofel committed suicide, Doeg's killed, and they acted in an inappropriate manner. They rebelled against David, and they end up in a lot of trouble. Milo Atki B'Torah, we know that they were Talmid Chacham, and they were Osik B'Torah, and therefore, why didn't that protect them? Why didn't that prevent them from going after the Yetzer Hara and rebelling against David? Why did not protect them in these situations? Now, the Gemara Rashi also asks over here on the position of Rabbi Yosef, what are you going to do with the fact that we said before that Mayim, that an Avera can wipe out a mitzvah, but it cannot wipe out Torah? We just said before that a mitzvah lasts no matter what. Whether you're working the mitzvah or not working the mitzvah, it's Meganemi Yisurim, it protects you from the Yisurim. So Rashi answers up and says, it's not to teach you that it doesn't protect from Yisurim, that what a Avera will do is wipe out your ability to collect on the mitzvah. I mean, it'll wipe out the reward that you're supposed to get from the mitzvah, although it will not, according to Rabbi Yosef, will not wipe out its ability to protect you. So now Rava continues, Ela Amar Rava, again, as I pointed out many times, Rava appears numerous times in Sota, and a lot of times he's correcting either the drush of a pasuk or the understanding of a limud, and Rava gives an alternative shot. Ela Amar Rava, Torah, Be'edna da'osikba migana umatzba. The time that you're osik the Torah, it's migana umatzba, it protects you and prevents you from being chased by the Torah. Not the Lo'asikba, when you're not osikba Torah, aguni migana, it protects you from Yisurim, matzulei lo matzba, it does not, right, protect you from going after the Yetzer Hara. And that explains why Doeg and Achitofel went off the derech, because when they were not also for Torah, they got involved with other things that led them, they went astray at those points in time. Mitzvah, ben bidinad osikba, ben bidinad lo osikba, whether at the time that you're osik the mitzvah and not osik the mitzvah, guni migana atzulei lo matzba, it protects you from Yisurim, but will not protect you from the Yetzer Hara. So again, we see this differential between the protection of Torah versus the protection of mitzvah, and the Gemara feels that the only the protection of Torah, or that level of protection, would prevent the Meisulta from taking effect, and therefore mitzvah would not be sufficient. So the Gemara says, Rabina Amar Olam Shchus to Torah. No, the woman has Shchus to Torah. What are you going to do about the fact that we said before she's Dana Mitzvah Oseh? The Kamara Dana Mitzvah Oseh? Nehidit Bekudei Lo Mifkidol. Even though she's not commanded to learn Torah, Agra Demakrinu Masin Banayu. And the schar that she takes her children to the base of Medrash, and she ensures that her children are educated properly and mechanics them properly, but not from the gavrai that midbushra, they are ma'afsher, right? They are facilitators for their husbands to learn Torah. They are considered to be partners. since they are equal partners, they get the schar, half the schar that their husband or their children are getting for the limud haTorah. That since they are equal partners in this situation, that the schus haTorah that they get is equal to the schus of Torah of someone who is mitzvah v'oseh, and that's what protects her. Now the Gemara goes back and says, "My parashat rachim." How do we explain the medrash above or the mashal that was given above? What's parashat rachim? Amar Chista zetam chacham v'yom mitzah. This is a Talmud Chacham in the day of death. Why? Because as we said, that Torah protects the Talmud Chacham, right? When he's Osik b'Torah, that protects him from the Isurim and protects him from the Yetzer Hara. When he's not Osik by that, he's still exposed to the Yetzer Hara. Yom HaMitzah, on the day that he dies, we know that he's overcome the Yetzer Hara because Lo Taminat Ve'atzmachad Yom Motchad. Don't believe in yourself for the day you die. I mean, you have to watch out for the Yetzer Hara the day you die. But once you reach the day of death, the Yetzer Hara no longer has the power to be Mifateh you, so you're safe now. So that's what it means. Until, during your lifetime, that's the Avukan, the Alot HaShachar, the Torah will protect you. But when will you be protected from the Yetzirah? That's when you reach the Parashat Rachim, because then you'll know where you're going. Once you've passed away, a person knows the Yetzirah has not got the better of him, and you'll know the path at which he is going. This is a Talmud Chacham in Yirat Chet. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham has the Sad of Torah. What about when he's not Osik the Torah? What's going to protect him from going off of the Yetzirah? That is the Yirat Chet. Because once he learns Torah, and through Torah he acquires Yirat Chet, that Yirat Chet will protect him from going after the Yetzirah. And that's the Parshat Rachim. So the Torah will be Meganeh Maslav him, and when he's not Osik the Torah will be Meganeh, but how do we know he's protected from the Yetzirah? That is Yirat Chet. Mazurat Rama is the Talmud Chacham, the Sakalei Shmaita Liba Dehilchasa. This is a Talmud Chacham who the Halacha goes like his Memros. What does it mean Allah goes like his memro? Because you're never sure. A person can learn for many years, can be involved in Torah, but we're never sure that his halacha will be mukubal, that his siskei halacha, or his memros will be accepted by his friends, and they will be nikva la halacha. So until one reaches that point, we're not sure if the Torah will live. Now that he reached that point in time, the Torah will live on. So Tosu says over here, well, how does that solve the problem of Yetzer Hara? Right, because we said over here that Torah is only meganeh from the Yetzirah when you're learning Torah. But this person, right, the other two cases, when he wasn't learning Torah, he had the protection because either he died or he had Yirat Chet. Over here, what's the protection he's afforded when he's not learning? What did this memra, according to Mar Zutra, what was the fact that protected him from the Yetzirah? The Tosu says, what? That Stam Talmud Chacham Torato Umunato. Since Torato Umunato means that he'll learn continuously, he learns all the time. Since he learns all the time, there'll never be a point where he's not learning, and then he will never have a point where he's not protected from the Yetzer Hara. And maybe that's the one who has that will have the Torah, Aliba de Hilchasa, maybe according to Tosfos, is the one who's learning all the time. He's the one who's ra'ui to have the Torah or the Halacha be nikva like him, because Torah Tano is umanato, and therefore he will be afforded that protection. I would have thought to say, more simply, that we have the principle that by Tzadikei and Sifsotehem, don't look the kever. That when a chacham dies, that his lips are still quivering in the grave. Why do we say this? We say because when people say over the Torah of this individual that they taught, Rabbi Shem Umro, then it's as if he's still speaking because his Torah is still alive. So we'll say the same thing here. The one person who has Shmaita Liba de Hilchasa, when the Torah has been Nikva, Liba de Hilchasa according to this individual, then people will continue to say over his memros. They'll give every time the Pesach Halach is given, it's given because of what he was Koveya, or his Torah is being said over. And therefore, the Torah protection that he's afforded is not only when he's learning, but even when he's not learning, others are speaking over his Torah, giving his Piskei Halacha. Because of that, he is protected. That's how I would have explained why Aliba de Hilchasa also protects him from the Yetzer Hara. Now, the Gemara continues. Now, Rabbi Yosef learned this pasuk, where he was able to darshan it so clearly, it's as if it was given from Har Sinai's explanation. Had Doeg and Achitofel learned the way that Rabbi Yosef explained, that way Rabbi Nachman Bar Yosef explained it, they wouldn't have run after David. They wouldn't have been gotten themselves into trouble. Right? Dechtiv leimor Elohim azvo, because they thought that what Hashem had left David HaMelech because he had sinned. My darush, where they say lo yirah b'cha ervat davar. When it talks about the machaneh of Israel when they go out to war, it says there you have to act appropriately and you have to make sure there's no tumah, no bathrooms that are found in the machaneh because the Shekhinah is sure in the machaneh. Because lo yirah b'cha ervat davar. But if there is something wrong in the machaneh, there is an ervat davar, then the Shekhinah is nistali. So it's over here. They believe with the chet of Bathsheba that David HaMelech had lost the Elohim Azvo, that Hashem had left him at this point in time. Once he had left him, then it was mutar to be moreid, to rebel against him. It's true that the Avera Bat Sheva might wipe out a mitzvah, but does not wipe out his Zechut HaTorah, and because of the Zechut HaTorah, he was protected. He was protected, and the Shechina stayed with him. So there are many who changed the Girsa here because Doeg and Achitofel actually lived at different times. Doeg rebels against Zevir, gives Zevir a hard time in the time of Shaul, and Achitofel lives much later on in the time of David, by the time of Merit of Shalom. And it turns out Bathsheba is actually his granddaughter. So the fact that Doeg would be alive at the time that Bathsheba happens is very unlikely. So there are many who wipe out the word the Lashon Doeg over here, and they just write Achitofel. Those who do include Doeg in the Girsa with along with Achitofel don't say literally it's about Chet Bathsheba, but rather Doeg felt that David was the inappropriate person for the job, and he felt that Hashem had left him because whatever Avera or the inappropriate behavior that he possibly had had, and therefore he felt he was justified in rebelling against him. But they didn't realize that David was a Talmud Chacham and a tremendous Torah learner as well as Kashur Lashem, and therefore he still had the Shekhinah Shor on him. My boz yabozulo. What does it mean that he will clean up? Meaning that he will capture all the spoils. Amar Ula, lo kishimon achi Azariah. So Shimon achi Azariah is a town that's found at the beginning of Zvachim. Over there, he's called by the name of his brother. Lo Rabbi Yochanan the Beni Siyah, not like Rabbi Yochanan the Beni Siyah, like a Hillel v'Shavna. Why? What did Shimon achi Azariah? They went into a Yisachar and Zvulun deal. They went into a deal of Yisachar and Zvulun. That Shimon was supported by his brother Azariah, and therefore when his Torah is quoted, it's quoted along with his brother's name because it was the schutz of his brother who supported him that he was able to learn. And the same thing with Rabbi Yochanan, he was supported by the Beis Nasi. So therefore, he was supported by them, they get credit in his learning. So Boz Yavozulo, what does it mean that they come and clean up totally? That's not like a Shimon and Chai Azariah, not like Rabbi Yochanan, but rather like Hillel and Shavna. What happened with Hillel and Shavna? They were brothers. Hillel asak b'Torah, Shavna avad iska. Right, so that Hillel went to learn Torah, and Shavna went into business. The stuff from L.A. So then Shavna later on came over to Hillel later on, not before the fact, but after the fact, and said, "Tanya Rova, lift leg. Come on, let's join, make a partnership now, and I'll support you, and we'll split the schar halimud. Yatzel v'kol marmar, yitain ishvet kol hon beito. At the beginning, the pasuk boz yabozulo. Then he will get all the credit because what Hillel learned Torah mi'oni." Through poverty, he did not accept a partner. Because he did not accept a partner, Bozia Bozulo, he will get all the credit. Not like Shimon Achai Azariah and Rabbi Yochanan the Beit Nisiyah, where they had to split their credit because they were supported with other people. A person wants to clean up and get all the credit, then he will not rely on others, but rather support himself. And by supporting himself, he will get all the reward and not have to share the reward with others. So quickly, just to summarize what we saw in this Talmud, the Gemara wants to know what schus was it that the woman had in order that it should protect her from the Meisulta. The Gemara says, well, it's got to be Zchus HaTorah, and not Zchus HaMitzvah, because only Torah has that power to protect against such a phenomenon, or the Meisulta. The Gemara says, well, how does she have Zchus HaTorah? Number one is that she's Eina Mitzvah V'Osa. I mean, even if she learns Torah, she's done it in Eina Mitzvah V'Osa. Number two, we already said that Mitzvah aren't sufficient. So the Gemara comes down with Ravina, who suggests that, no, it's the Zchus HaTorah, but the Zchus HaTorah in her partnership with her husband and her children. So there she gets full-fledged Zchut HaTorah, and that Zchut would be sufficient to postpone the Meisulta. In addition to that, the Gemara spent time on explicating on the issue that Mitzvah and Torah are on different levels. The Torah is a totally different Zchut or different level than the Mitzvah. We saw that in the Limudim about the protection that Torah affords to an individual. And number two, we saw in the difference between the protection afforded by a Mitzvah and a Torah. And in that difference, we've talked about the fact that Ner Mitzvah the Torah, or that Ner the Mitzvah only protects temporarily, can be wiped out by an Avera, whereas Torah protects for much longer and more expansive areas that it protects on, and it also lasts forever. I just point out here that there is a Yamsho Shlomo, there's a Marshal in Baba Kama that discusses the fact that we say the Simcha b'Meono by a Chatuna, and over there he talks about it by a Pidyon of Ben, not by a Bris Mila because it's Tara the Yoroka. Over there, the Marshal wanted to establish that they should also say a Simcha b'Meono by a Siyum Masechta, when people make Siyum ala Torah. So there's no greater Simcha than Siyum Torah. So why shouldn't we say a Simcha b'Meono also by a Siyum Masechta, not just by a Pidyon of Ben and by a Chatuna? So over there, the Marshal says that it didn't work out. Some very bad things happened at the time that he established this. And then from that, he said he thought that was a Simon, that he was wrong, that he didn't have a Kabbalah for this, and he was wrong about it. Rav Hutner, in the Pachad Yitzchak, writes that the reason that the Marshal is incorrect in comparing mitzvah to Torah is because that a mitzvah and Torah are on totally different planes. That we only say simcha b'me'ono when we're talking about a mitzvah which has this temporary status, a temporary ability to protect. Torah, which has the internal, eternal ability to protect, we don't say it's simcha b'me'ono. It's a very beautiful memra that Rav Huzner has in the Pachad Yitzchok, and he brings it from our Gemara over here, the difference between a mitzvah and limud ha-Torah. Right now we'll continue with the Mishnah. The Gemara says on the Yomad Beis, the Mishnah says, Umer ben Azai chayv adam lamedet bito Torah. Rav Huzner merkel lamedet bito Torah malamda tiflut. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah, malamda tiflut is a proprietary frivolity. And so again, the Mishnah, Gemara is going to amend the Mishnah. It says tiflut. What do you mean he's teaching his daughter tiflut? Because if you say he's teaching her tiflut, it means that the Torah is tiflut. That's not what we want to say. We want to say that what? If he teaches her Torah, it's as if he teaches her tiflut. It's as if he teaches her frivolity because she'll use the Torah for the wrong reasons. Our Mishnah actually already reads ki ilu lamda tiflut and has the emendation of the Gemara in the Mishnah already. And that's why we saw back in the Gersot of the Mishnah that some people take out the word ki'ilu, because otherwise what's the Gemara's question? That's the emendation of the Gemara, but that's not what's found in the Mishnah. Tosfos points out over here that we have a third opinion with regards to limud Torah by women. Why? Because that's Ben Azai says in the Gemara in the Chagiga, says that why do the women come up to Hakel? Women come up to Hakel, lishmoa. Meaning that the men come up lilmod, nashim lishmoa, and the taf that gives card from mevi'ayim. So we see over there that there's a din that women lishmoa to come up and learn Torah. So that's not like either of the opinions over here. That's not like Rabbi Lazarus says. Clearly, that teaching Torah to the daughters and the tilfus, and according to Ben Azai, the only reason that you teach a Torah is that she should understand why the mesotah don't work right away, or that others should take a lesson from why the mesotah don't work away, because they'll know it's because it's chus Torah. But not that there's an meikar din, there's a din in limud Torah. So there's another opinion, the Gemara said, and the Ben Azai is not like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, and it's not like Rabbi Eliezer of our Gemara over here, obviously. So there's a third opinion which would permit women to learn. And we'll see again, I'll come back to this later on when we talk about the issue of women's learning. So Amar Rebel, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, Dechtev, Ani Chachma, Shachanti Arma. Dei Chachma, I came and I dwelled in that deceitfulness. Once a person reaches Chachma, right, then he also learns deceitfulness, meaning that when a person knows the law, then he knows how to circumvent the law. The more he knows about it, the more he can use his ability to circumvent or get around the law. So over here, if the woman is given the ability to understand how the law works or how it functions, she will use it in a way that is deceitful or to get around the punishment that she really deserves. Ah, what about the fact that a man has that as well? I mean, that a man also, when a nichnas imo are mumit, why don't we say the same thing by a man? So Marsha gives an explanation. I don't think it's a menaseach, this explanation, but he says that the men have to go out into the world and deal in business and deal with others. So they need this chokhmah, they need this ability to understand how people would cheat and how people would act, and therefore the chokhmah, they can use it in a positive sense. Whereas the woman who is in Kol Kvodah Bat Melech Penima doesn't need this ability to have that armomi to understand the deceitfulness and therefore it will be placed the Torah or that ability that's given through the chokhmah will be used for negative means rather than positive means. Rabbanan, who disagree over here, Hayani Achma, my Abdulay, what do they do with this chokhmah? We violate the Rabbi Yossi Barabi Chenia, Dabra Yossi Barabi Chenia, and the great Torah Mitzkamim, and Misha, maybe that's more room Alehem. The only one who has the great Torah Mitzkamim in him is someone who stands up naked with him. What does it mean he stands up naked? A play on the word Ormah, to mean Arumah. What does it mean naked? Naked means that he leaves all other draws in the world and only is focused on Torah. He gives up everything else. He's not room for anything else except for Torah. That's a person who is Divrei Torah Mitzkamim. Shnemar Ani Chochma Shachanti Orma, not Orma but Ela Aruma. Harma Yochanan Ein Divrei Torah Mitzkamim Misha Mitzim Atzmo Kemisha Eino. Divrei Torah Only Mitzkamim and someone who makes himself as if he is not. Shnemar Vachma Mi Ayin Timsa. So that's in Ayyub. He's saying, from where does the Chachma come? The Gemara here is making a play on the words, Vachachma, where will Chachma? Mi Ayin Timsa. Wherever is Ayin, like a nothing, Timsa, that's where it will be found. So what does it mean he makes himself like a nothing? Either that he's not Mitzga'en in Limud Torah, and therefore he will continue to learn Torah and never think that he has enough. Or the other thing is that he will always be looking for Rebbeim to capture the Torah from, because he always thinks he doesn't have it, and he'll look for others to learn from them, and therefore his Torah will be in a real acquiring, because he's Ma'ayin, Timsa. And the one who makes himself a nothing, that's where you will find it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Rotei Isha, right, we saw this in the Mishnah, Bekav V'Tiflut, Yoter Mitishat Kabim U'Prishut. So this is the Gemara says, Mai Kamar, what does it mean? Haki Kamar Rotei Isha Bekav, a woman is willing to accept less money means to have less monetary means, the tiflut, and have her husband always present with her, imo, mitisha'at, kabinu, prishut, rather than have her husband be more wealthy or have more successful in business, but then be away from her for much longer time. So you see that the woman has an affinity for the tiflut. Rashi explains over here that what does that mean, botzai shabakav tiflut? The fikach ain't told to tumo Torah. It's not good for a woman to learn Torah, because Torah would be the antithesis of what a woman is. A woman who has this status or this character of the tiflut, then she shouldn't learn Torah, which has a much more rigid physical side to it, because that will start to remove her from her husband, and that she will no longer want to have intimacy with her husband, because the Torah will take her and make her be more parush from her husband, and therefore it's more appropriate that she doesn't learn Torah and become parush from her husband, but rather stay and connect herself with the normal intimacy of a woman. The Tosfos here has an interesting explanation over here. He says, based on the Gemara of Sukkot, a man who is Meshalesh Yishodo, who feeds his wife, right, Adesh Leish, how much does he have to give her per week? He has to give her a kabayim. He has to give her a 2 kav worth of chitim for each week in order that she should eat. So the mezonot of a woman whose husband is with her and does have intimacy with her, that's kabayim. Then we have Moredet B'Ktubata, one who is a husband who rebels. What does that mean? That he is not willing to have a intimacy with his wife. When he's not having intimacy with his wife, we actually increase the ktubah. There's a fine on the ktubah. And how much is that? That's gimel dinarim l'shabbat. That they increase the ktubah by gimel dinarim each week. That increase of gimel dinarim actually works out to be 18 kabim. That's 18 kabim. So the relationship between 18 and 2 is 9 to 1. And that's what the, based on this, that the Rav Hai explains our Gemara over here, meaning that why is it 9 to 1? A woman would prefer to be fed, you know, in the normal manner and get the 2 kabim that she's entitled to each week and have her husband be intimate with her, then get the moret dubah, get the 18 kabim that she gets if her husband refuses to be intimate with her, because she'd much rather have her husband than have the monetary means. But I don't think you really need to have that limit of Tosfos, because I think basically throughout the Gemara we see this, whenever the Gemara wants to give extremes of a lot was given one side and a little to the other side, we see the Gemara uses this terminology of you have 10 kabim of beauty were given to the world, 9 of them went to Yerushalayim, 1 of them went to the rest of the world. So do over here, when the Gemara is talking about 9 kabim and 1 kab, this is a comparison of a lot and a little, that 9 kabim is a extreme form, is that where it went all in one direction, and 1 kab is the other form. So a person would much rather have the 9 kabim, much rather have 1 kab with tiflut, then have 9 kabin, which would be an extreme or wealth or extreme wealth, and the prishut. So here I'll digress for a second here, just to discuss the Piskei Halacha with regards to this. So the Rambam codifies the Halacha here, brings down the Memra of Rabbi Eliezer, and even though it's interesting here, that even though generally we don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer, because Shamuti who, because he's a Shamuti, either because he's from Beit Shammai, or because he was put into Shamta, so generally we don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. Nevertheless, we pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. Why do we pass him like Rabbi Eliezer in this case? Because we see that the Sugya of the Gemara seems to follow Rabbi Eliezer, plus there are other Tanaim, like Rabbi Yeshua and others, that support the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So we end up passing like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Rambam codifies the law here like Rabbi Eliezer, that it limlameh tabito Torah, t'ilu melamda divrei havai. But the Rambam at the end adds an additional qualification. He says, all this is nemar b'torish b'alpeh. But when it comes to Torah Shebichtav, one should not teach his daughter Torah Shebichtav, but if he does, lechatila should not teach his daughter Torah Shebichtav, but if he does, then it's not an Isur, it's not problematic. So first of all the Rishon, everybody tries to do, where the Rambam gets such a distinction. The Bach claims the distinction comes from what we said above about Yerushalmi by Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says that the Nashim Bayim Lishmoa. And what happens in Hakel? In Hakel, the king is reading the Miktav, reading from Torah Shebichtav. So we see over there, if you don't say like the Tosfos, that they're actually arguing on Ben Azai over here, but actually they agree with Ben Azai or Rabbi Eliezer over here, that they're actually talking about two different areas of Torah. When it comes to Torah Shebichtav, that's what the Gemara Chagiga is addressing, and therefore it's Bayim Lishmoa, they can come in here. Whereas, when we're talking about the Halacha Torah Shebichtav, that's what our Gemara is addressing, and that Gemara is Melam de Tiflus, and therefore it's Asur. So then the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Memvav in Yoredeya codifies the halacha like the Rambam, but then the Ramah adds an additional qualification there, and the Ramah says over there that obviously women have to learn Torah with mitzvot that they're chayavot in, that if it's Torah to instruct them or to know about mitzvot that they need to do, then that obviously is not included under this problem of that they're not allowed to teach them Torah, or not allowed to, if you teach them, it's kilo melamda and tiflut. And this obviously has led to the major machlokas about what's the woman's ability or right to learn or be limud ha-Torah. mean that what is she restricted in, and what does it mean tiflut? So there's an important memory. I won't get to all of them, but here there's a Torah Tmima and Dvarim that spent time on distinguishing between Nashim Dabas Kolos and Bnei Yisrael Nodav Isha. There's also a Rabbeinu Bechai on the pasuk by Tikach Miriam and Nevi'ah. Over there he said that it's important to notice that women are an ikar, that they establish many fundamental principles of Judaism are actually established by women. And he goes forward at the end of that memra on Tikach Miriam and Nevi'ah. Rabbeinu Bechai said that, quote the Rabbeinu Bechai, he said that women in many ways haim she's an important fundamental part of a bayit and a limud Torah. Where do we see that from? He says that we learn out. How do we know about Olam Haba from? We know it from Abigail and her meeting with David HaMelech, where she says, that's what we say at the end of almost every Levaya. That's what we say because Abigail was the one who taught us about that. Where do you know the fundamentals of Tefillah and Tchiyat HaMetim? We know that from the Tefillah of Chana. And also, where do you know Gilgul from? He says, we know that from Ishad Kohit. So the Rambam says, the Rabbeinu Bechai says, we learn many fundamentals from women. It's obvious that women have an ikar part in establishing the Jewish home and in being mechanech the children. So that brings us today that what can women learn? So when the Beit Yaakov movement came about, right, there was a lot of objection to institutionalizing the Libud for women. And at the time, the Chubas that were written established that there wasn't really any change. That it wasn't that there was a social change and therefore women were entitled to learn now more than they were before. It was just that the methodology at which they were taught changed. That in the past, they had learned in their house what they needed to know. I mean, they had a Mesorah within the house and the Mesorah in the house provided them all they needed to do. When that Mesorah broke down, right, then they needed to institutionalize the learning because not all the families were able to teach their daughters or give their daughters what they needed. They institutionalized the same learning that they had before, the same Mesorah they had before, they put into an institution of teaching schools. But according to those post-scheme, many of those post-scheme, that did not change the status of women or what they were allowed to learn. Although, as the modern-day post-scheme came along, we saw much more of that movement in terms of women's learning. First of all, especially in the Haskalah movement, when women went out to get higher secular education, many felt that it was inappropriate that women were getting jobs and secular education. That's true in the Haredi world today, that women go out and go to Hakshara programs. They're much more exposed to the world than secular, but yet they're limited in the world of Torah. And that doesn't make sense. I mean, if you want to keep a woman Jewish and given the fundamentals so you can pass on to her house and mechanech her children, it's important that she also can learn. So then also we see that the Birkei Yosef actually quotes the Reish Me'Vav, quotes a Chidah, and says that women who are very bright, who have the ability and a Mukhshar to do this, can even become poskim. Even though in general, most poskim believe that a woman can't give Hachra, even though she can learn, she can't give Hachra. The Chidah says that even a woman can give Hachra in these cases, she can be Ladun, if she is Mukhsharit for the Davar Hazeh. So we see that there were poskim along the way that recognized that women had the ability to learn and could learn at these levels. So what I've heard from most of my rebbeim is that the importance is that we have to distinguish between men and women. Women, females and males are different in their tchunot. That males more naturally gravitate towards the sciences and the practical and the ma'aseh of the mamashi and the ability to think in the theoretical realms of science and math. Whereas women tend to go towards the aesthetic side. They tend to go through the arts and the humanities. And so we see there is a natural intia of women, even in a college, in an open environment where they're allowed to choose anything, we still see these separations between men and women and making their own personal choices. So what my Rebbeim have told me in the past is that we do not institutionalize the limud Torah of women, meaning that if they're going to learn Torah Shabbat Peh, we don't institutionalize it. Obviously we follow the Ramah, which is that we can learn Torah Shabbat Peh them and give them the vehicles and the tools by which they can learn about the mitzvot they have to do, to be able to teach their children, and be able to do the mitzvot through chokhmah and understand what a mitzvah means. But to teach them on a regular basis, Torah Shabbat Peh, that we do not institutionalize. But on the other hand, if we have women who have yuzmah, who have personal initiative and really want to learn, and the Yirei Hashem, then obviously we're going to give them that opportunity to learn. Why should we deny them that chokhmah, that ability to learn, when they are going to be exposed to learning or higher levels of learning in other realms? So of course we can teach them and give them over the Torah. That's just a small tamtzit, just to explain our Gemara over here. I did see a nice explanation over here of the word tiflut. There's a tshuva in the back of Kedoshim to you that's brought from a Rav Uzi Kaldheim, who talks about the fact when the Torah, you have to go through all the Gemaros that use these negative terms, and tiflut. If you look at them in context, that really, if you pull them out of the context, they sound like very negative terms towards the women. But if you actually look them in context, then they're not as bad. And then over here he says, what is it, kilo malamda tiflut? יש להבין את המושג תפלות. What does the term מתפלות mean? זה דבר שאינו שימושי. It's not practical for her. She'll be allowed to Ellis. It won't benefit her. מדאו דרכת חזל באופן כלל נשים. It's giving general direction to women. שם שמנה דרך לחמים ביחס לגבר. They gave the same direction to men. ליש שמוצא ברכה בלי מדאו לאחר חמש שנים. A person doesn't learn well after 5 years. He should go out and learn a trade. So over here, they're telling a woman who has, that in general, women should not take this path or make this choice because it won't come out to be practical for them, it won't be useful for them. That's what it means, tiflut. But not that tiflut is a general negative term towards women, but women who do or are able to make it practical and able to make it valuable, they should be able to learn Torah, and they should go ahead and learn Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, now we'll continue with the Gemara. The Gemara continues with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, what is a chassid shotah? Chassid Shoteh and Rasha Arum. These are things Rabbi Elazar says are Mavle Olam, they destroy the world. What is a Chassid Shoteh? If you tell me a Chassid Shoteh, what does it mean that a person is a Chassid Shoteh? Kagom the Katava Itata Minara. See, the woman who's drowning in the ocean. I'm not going to look at her, but Sula, and save her. And the person puts this idea that they're not allowed to look at women ahead of saving someone's life. That makes no sense. This is the person who's holding up his Ben Adam L'Makom in a Makom when he needs to save his friends and take care of this woman. Tosfos brings another case, when Yishalmi, case where there's a baby drowning and the person has his tefillin on. He says, I'm not going to take off my tefillin to go save this baby. So a person has to know that there are certain times where the violation that the saving or the mitzvah that's being done is greater than any avera that be violated, and one has to go and save the life of these people and not uphold their righteousness in the face of the expense of others. Hechi dami rasha arum. What is a rasha arum? Over here, the Gemara says, "Amar biyochanan zeh matim dvarav ledayan kodem shibul vadin chaveru." This is a person who speaks to the dayan before his counterparty comes to the court. So his counterparty will be shut down. He'll think that this guy's buddies with the dayan, or he'll think that he'll never be able to get his point across because this guy already spoke to the dayan. And Rashi even over here says that he's a rasha who wise over a loti sashimah shav. So I guess it sounds like a play on loti shah. Right, that a person should not go ahead and talk to the dayan, shema shav, that will make the words or the listening to the others shav will be worthless. So a person should not go ahead and preempt the other baldin in order to be matim devara. This is a rasha room. He's doing something that is inappropriate, and because he's doing it, he's actually in a cause. The dayan might not even know that he will be a dayan later on, or even when he is a dayan, he may not accept what the other guy is saying, but nevertheless, it will hurt the other individual, and since it hurts the other individual, that's called a rasha room. This is a person who gives a 1 dinar to an ani who brings them up to matayim zuz. We have this in the Mishnah Peah. It's not mishiyesh lo matayim zuz leitol leket shichcha peah. Once a person has enough money to reach matayim zuz, he's not allowed to take leket shichcha peah or meister ani. Hayulo matayim chater achat dinar achat. If he has 199, then you can give him even in one shot. You can give him elef nosim lo. So he's still able to go and get, and he can get a big block of money. This person can take. So when you go ahead and give him 1 dinar, you raise him up to the 200 and block him from getting any other big contributions for anybody else. So that's called the Rasha Arum, because you are Ayin Tzar. You give him such a small amount of money, and this small amount of money is going to cause him a huge amount of loss that he won't be able to get money from many others. Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zem Asi, Eitzal, and Komin Echassim, Latim. You know, the halacha is if there is a Yerusha, and it's not enough Yerusha for both the boys and the girls. The halacha midorais is that the boys inherit, and the girls get nothing. But the chachamim were metakein beusha, that the girls get the Yerusha, and then the boys should be machzer al p'tachim. But the halacha is, Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Yochanan, you told me shekar m'machu m'nechassim latim, mashu m'machu m'machu. That if they actually went ahead and sold it, kedin d'oraisa, like their control midin d'oraisa, before Beis Din got a hold of the property, their sailing is a good sale, and it's as if they executed the sale, and the girls will lose out. So someone gives advice to the assumim to go ahead and sell the chasim mu'atim to get out of having the base and give it over to the girls. That is called the rasha arum. This is someone who tells someone who has the din of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to sell their property. What does that mean? The tani nich saylach lacharak laponi. Someone who gives a remainder will, but he gives over his property or something to an individual. He says, whatever is left over from you when you die, that will go to the next person. But yarda rishon machar ba'alkal. The first person goes ahead and eats it up or sells it. Hasheni motzei mi'ad al close. The second buyer, the second person in this will, has a shibud on the property, and everybody's allowed to go get it from the buyer. Divrei Rabbi. That's what Rabbi says. After this guy dies and it comes into his possession, he can go get it. Rabbi Shimon Amar, no. And the shayla mashashir rishon. That was the whole point of the gift. It was a remainder trust, a remainder will. That which is left over is what they get. So if he sells it, it's a good sale. So if someone goes and gives advice to someone who got such a gift to go out and sell the property so the other person won't get it and he'll get all the benefit from it, that is a rasha arum. The person who gives such an advice is a rasha arum. Not the person, the Tosfos here deals with the case. What about the individual himself? he's not restricted from selling it. So he may not be a Rasha because he's entitled to do whatever he wants with it. But if someone gives him advice to sell it in order to prevent the other guy from getting benefit, that's a Rasha room. This is a person who, what, tries to convince others that he is a holy man, that he is righteous, that his he presents himself or projects himself to be a righteous person, but he's not. And then other people are going to go follow him, or they won't check up on his bad deeds. So this is someone who projects an image that is not true. Rabbi Zrika Amar Ravuna Mekel La'atzmo Machmir La'Acherim. Rosh Hashanah is someone who gives paskin L'kula for himself and the Chumra for others. And Ulamar Zeshakar Veshana B'lo Shimesh Talmid Chachamim. This is someone who learned Torah and learned Mishnah, was not Mishamesh Talmid Chachamim, and that he didn't learn how to take. He knows the text. He knows the quantitative amount of shots. He can review it anywhere. But he never learned the Svara and the Tamei HaMitzvot. So he's a Rasha, because he was never Mishamesh Talmid Chachamim to learn the proper way to understand the Mishnayot. And he's a Rum is because other people are going to follow him. They're going to think he's a big Talmud Chacham, but they're going to look after him and see what he's doing or try to follow his ways, but yet he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to give a proper psak, because he never learned the Svara, he never learned the Tamim of the Mitzvot. Okay, we'll stop here.